All right, well, if you have a Bible with you, I'd ask you to please turn to Psalm chapter 34. And as we have all the young ones here in the auditorium, I want to try something out real quick. Let me see. I see a few youngins that are going to VBS here. So let me try something out. God is in charge.
Awesome.
God is in charge.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yes. So every day there is a call phrase that the kids learn to respond with. Awesome God. So that's really what we've been focusing on this week at VBS is monumental, how monumental God is and his attributes. They learned about God's love. They learned that God is everywhere. And today they were learning that God is powerful. His power is absolute. And so it's been great to see them learning these things about God, these fundamental yet simple truths about God. So that's been cool. So today I wanted to choose Psalm chapter 34. This year, you know, starting at the beginning of the year, I decided I want to do that, you know, annual read the Bible in a year plan. And I've been going through that and going through the Psalms. You know, they really take you through a lot of the Psalms every single day. And Psalm 34 is one of those that it stands out. It's just a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Encourage everybody in here to get to know it. And I really do think that it kind of goes in line with what the kiddos have been learning out throughout VBS this week. So we're going to get a chance to kind of reinforce those lessons tonight. But as I always do, at least with the youth, I usually teach the youth in youth class on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I start off with the big idea. So what is the big idea for the study? Something that if you don't get anything else from what I'm talking about up here, I want you to at least latch onto the big idea. And the big idea for tonight is God uses his work in us as individuals to invite us into corporate worship of him. Let me repeat that. It's a little bit of a mouthful. But God uses, essentially, his work in our lives to lead us to come together to worship him corporately, to worship him as a group, as one people. And so Psalm 34, if you have a Bible that, it actually should already be part of verse 1, but it starts off and it tells you kind of the background of the psalm. Now, it's very interesting, this background to this psalm. So I'll go ahead and read it. It says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away when he departed. So apparently there was a situation where David had to pretend he was insane in order to escape danger. And that experience in his life led to this beautiful psalm. There you have it. Let me see. I did want to read it. It's found in this story. It's a very short story. It's 1 Samuel 21. And we'll find it starting in verse 10. And get a load of this, right? So starting in verse 10, 1 Samuel 21. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, King Saul. And he went to Achish, bless you, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish, bless you, said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid of Achish, bless you, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish, bless you, said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And there you have it. That is the stranger than fiction story that inspired Psalm chapter 34. And we're going to get into a little bit of, you know, basically, you know, understand how God works through all these situations. But essentially, Psalm 34 is a wonderful psalm that includes a lot of truths about God, encouragements to the people to help them understand the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the just nature of God. And so these are all things that we're going to touch on tonight, but essentially I just kind of want to walk through briefly and just kind of give an overview as we walk through Psalm 34 and just really give you an encouragement. Remember, the big idea here is we're trying to understand how God uses our experiences to then drive us together as a body of believers to then come and worship him, okay? So why don't we start our overview here of Psalm 34? We're going to start in verse 1. And we'll pause along the way and talk about it. But starting in verse 1, David wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Okay, an amazing, amazing start to this psalm. And notice, I want you to notice what he's beginning with and what he ends with in this little passage. So he begins and he starts talking about his own actions, right? "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So I want you to picture David, right? Remember, he just finished acting like a crazy person and he escaped, thankfully. And this just inspires him to give thanks to the point where it seems like, if you kind of get the implication there, he's going around telling people, "Man, you wouldn't believe what just happened. God rescued me and I had to act like a crazy person, but God was so faithful and he rescued me." And so he's basically going around continually talking and just lifting up the praises of God. And he even says that when the humble hear this story, they're going to be glad. So picture just this encouragement flowing from person to person, starting with David. And then this is where he turns the personal experience now into the invitation to corporate worship. So in verse 3, he says, "Oh, magnify," or make bigger, "the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So this is the invitation to corporate worship, but it is all based on his personal experience. But he's asking us to magnify, to make bigger, make the name of the Lord bigger in the world and spread it to all the people. Let us exalt, let us lift up the name of God together. So essentially what I'm doing, what you see, I'm pretending to be David here, what you see me doing and going and spreading God's praises, follow that example, but let's all do it together. And then you see the love of God being spread throughout the nations. At least that's the hope. So he invites us, after some personal reflection, into corporate worship, and it's based on the shared joy of his deliverance. Yeah, that's right. He gives us the reason, right? He tells us in verse 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." And I think this is important to note because, you know, sometimes we take those deliverance stories, no matter how small, we probably take some of those for granted. We probably say, "Oh, it was just happenstance, just a coincidence. I came out on the right side of this, and yes, I'm good." But do we, like David, do we understand that all these good blessings, these blessings that come, they come from God? These good things in our life, deliverances in our life, come from God. And so our attitude now should shift from just thinking that, "Oh, well, it's just chance, it's just kind of a coincidence." We should really be oriented toward thinking God is working at all times. I should be looking at the fact that God is probably here and he is working in my life and he's delivering me from so many things. It's unreal. You wouldn't believe how many things he's just delivered me from today. And we should continue, that should allow us to then continually sing his praises and invite others to join in that worship with us. So yes, he begins then with that personal reflection and then turns it into the invitation to corporate worship. But now let's look at the next set of verses here And he's going to turn his attention now to recognizing God's faithfulness and God's provision in all our lives. So let's start at verse 5 here. David continues, they looked to him, they looked to God, and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And so now, like I said, David has turned his attention from this invitation, and now he wants to encourage us by letting us know how faithful and how, just how much God provides in our life. And so I want to talk to the little ones here that have been going to VBS for a little bit, if they're paying attention. Yes, thank you. You guys have learned so far in 3 days of VBS, right? Number one, the first day you learn, God's unfailing love will last forever. Very good. And then yesterday you learned that God is with us everywhere we go. Good job. And then today you learned that God is in charge. Yeah, very good. Yes, all these ideas that you are learning, we see David essentially repeating that to us here in Psalm 34. God's love will last forever. It's never going to fail you. When you cry out to him in times of trouble, he's going to hear you and he's going to deliver you. He's with us everywhere we go. We don't have to feel abandoned. We don't have to feel alone. Even when no one is around us that we can see, we still know that God, who we can't see, he's still with us. And then, of course, God is in charge. Yes, he allows sometimes certain things in our life that sometimes they hurt. And yes, he allows those things, but we have to understand and trust that God is still in charge. He is still good to us. And I think the greatest thing that I want you guys to understand out of this little passage here is it's cool to see that we can see these concepts, these ideas about God, these concepts about God, they're being played out in real life. They take it from the theory down to the existential, the experiential, right? It's one thing to know and to learn verses about God's faithfulness, about God's sovereignty, and use these cool sounding theological words. And you can spout off all the knowledge that you have about this theology that you've built up. But there's a difference, and it's a significant difference when you begin to live it out. Oh man, I have, just like David, he's saying, I've lived these things out, and this is how I can tell you from experience, to the point that in verse 8, you see, and it's one of my favorite verses, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, there's another invitation there for us. He's not just saying like, ah, try it, I think you'll like it. He's saying, no, I know what it feels like, what it tastes like, if you will, and I'm asking you, you're going to love it too. When you have that experience with God and you know, and you get to experience his deliverance in your life, his faithfulness, his sovereignty, when you experience it, it's just a completely different kind of knowledge, that experiential knowledge. And he's inviting us to do that again. So for you little ones, I'd like to just encourage you, keep these understandings about God with you wherever you go. Remember the things that you're learning through VBS. It's not just fun little things to win rewards. You're learning deep truths about the God that created you. And it's going to be amazing as you get to experience and live that out as you get older. So then, now let's go to our next portion here. And we're going to read just one verse. And this is where it gets, we turn our attention now to the little ones once again. Let's read verse 11 together. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, at first glance, this might Like if you read the entirety of Psalm 34, this when you come to this verse, it might feel like it's kind of a throwaway verse. It's kind of like just in passing. You know, he's talking about promises. He's talking about his experience. And then he says, oh, by the way, children, listen to this. And then he goes on with other stuff. But in reality, I think he's saying something very, very important here. Now, for us older folk here, when we read this verse, we might be a little traumatized in remembering our upbringing here and our parents probably when we got in trouble. Come here, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. I was just, oh man, oh, something's acting up here. No, this is something entirely different. David is really encouraging. He's inviting now the children of the community to come, to lean in, to listen to him, to listen to the things that he's spoken of so far, and also the things that he's about to speak on about God. And he says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And what I want to encourage you guys with tonight about this is the fact that here at Calvary South Austin, it's verses like this and other verses that we can point to that we understand that we care and we love and we won't have a desire to raise children up in the ways of the Lord because God cares, because God loves these little children. You know, it's in Proverbs 22. Some of you might know this verse already. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. Also, Deuteronomy chapter 6, that talks of when God was giving commandments to his people, and he said, you shall teach them, the children, you shall teach them diligently, or the commandments to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Basically, he's encouraging parents, he's encouraging the community, really, to devote time and effort into raising up children and teaching them in the ways of the Lord. And so we see that children are incredibly, incredibly important and loved by our God. And we want to reflect that here in this church. And it's no wonder we have events, big events like VBS, but on the day-to-day, on the week-to-week, we have children's ministry. And we see that being played out. And so I want to extend a big thank you again to just the children's ministry servants that week after week, they sacrifice time. And even throughout the week, they prepare for the lesson. They prepare a lot and they create crafts on their level so that these kids, the kiddos, can learn on that level and they can grasp the big truths about God on a simple level that their mind can grasp at that age. And it doesn't just start with elementary. We have a preschool. We have a nursery even where they're being taught and they're being encouraged about the God that we serve. And it really does start from that young age. And it's a beautiful thing to see. It's an amazing thing to see. So if you ever see a children's ministry servant, please give them a big thank you. Because we, just like David was encouraging and inviting us, that is what corporate worship looks like, right? Let's not get it twisted. Corporate worship doesn't just look like us here in this room singing songs, though that's part of it, and it's an amazing part. But worship is much more than that. This Bible study is a form of worship. And then now the serving that is going on, the ministry that is going on in those classrooms that a lot of us probably are unaware of up to this point, there's worship happening over there. If you would just peek, you know, take an ear out to the door at the beginning of the service, you would hear all the kids singing praise songs on their level. It's an amazing thing. But yes, David here, he's inviting the children. Hey, you're not too young. Come over here. Let's learn these truths about God. And that's part of inviting us into corporate worship. He wants everybody, both old and young as they come over here. I will teach you. I will help you to understand the fear and the knowledge of God. And now we continue on in Psalm 34 here, reading verses 12 through 14. Again, he's going to turn his attention to some different topics here, but let's read starting verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So I think it's cool now because he just invited the children and says, I'm going to teach you some things about the Lord. And then he gives them some basic commandments, essentially, some guidelines to live by, if you will, right? He tells them, who is the man who desires life and loves many days? Basically, do you want to live to be an old person? Do you want to live as long as you can? Let me ask the little kiddos. Do you, little ones, do you want to live a long time? I see a little dinosaur nodding his head. Do you want to live as old as Pastor Bungie even? You can. Don't worry. If you're shaking your head, you're not going to look like him. You're just going to live as old as him. Don't worry. Yeah, so there is good news. He says, do you want to have many days in your life? Here's what you got to do. All right? And so he gives us a breakdown here. He says, keep your tongue from evil. So really, I'm speaking to everybody, but I want to laser focus on the little ones. Little ones, if you want to see long days in your life, keep your tongue from evil. That means don't talk back. Respect your parents. Don't backtalk. Don't make fun of each other. Don't tear each other down. What we should be focusing on is building each other up. Is when we see somebody having a tough day, we should go and put our hand on their shoulder and say, hey, cheer up. God loves you. How can I pray for you? Yes, even you as a little one going to VBS, you have that power to be used by God. You know, even Paul was telling young Pastor Timothy, who's probably in his 30s maybe, but he says, don't let anybody reject you just because you're young. You know, don't let anybody say, you can't do it. You're too young. You don't know anything. I don't know about that. Doesn't ring true, at least from biblically speaking. Yes, you young people in this room, you can be used by God even at your young age. So let that encourage you. But he also says, yes, keep your tongue from evil. Don't speak deceit. Don't lie, essentially. There's no need to lie. Be honest. Practice honesty with those around you, and you will have nothing to be ashamed of. You will have nothing to hide. You will have nothing to be embarrassed about if you live a good and honest life. Also, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Young ones, this world that we live in, as you may already know, is a tough world to live in. There are so many things that are vying for your attention, and a lot of them are not good things. There's things that sound good, but underneath, they're really trying to trap you. They're really trying to deceive you. So be aware of that. Stay away from the evil things. When it's brought to your attention, when your parents or when somebody here that loves you, that cares for you, and they tell you, hey, this thing that's in your life, it's not good for you. God doesn't want that in your life. Take that to heart and ask God to help you stay away from those evil things and ask God to help give you the strength to go and pursue good things. Seek peace. There's no need to fight. There's no need to start arguments. Really, everyone in this church really should be an example of the self-sacrificial love, the turn the other cheek kind of love. When people step on our toes, when people just rub us the wrong way, we should be seeking peace rather than battling one another, especially within the church. This is not a good look for the church. And so if you want to have long days in your life, practically speaking, these are just a few encouragements, a few commandments that you can follow in your life. And yes, it's possible with God's help. And that's something that you all have been learning throughout this VBS week. So keep that in mind. All right, now let's move on to our concluding passage here where David's going to give us some concluding promises to lean on. So let's start in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. All right. Some amazing promises here that we should all lean on. And remember, the big idea here is that these truths, when we live it out, it should really bring us together and cause us to worship the God. So let's look at these promises that he's asking us to remember. The fact that God is with his people at all times. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You know, it's the, I'm pretty sure a lot of you have heard this, but it's the cry of the righteous, the cry of the person who has given their life over to God. Those are the cries that he hears. But those who continually reject God and want nothing to do with him, God's going to honor that request. And when they find themselves in times of trouble, unfortunately, some people have to learn those tough lessons. But that's why it's important. I'm talking to the young ones again. That's why it's important for you to get to know God at such a young age. Get to know him now and fall in love with him now, today, and you will see him answering your cries, answering all your prayers, revealing him, more of himself to you day after day. And it's going to be amazing by the time you get to be our wrinkly old age, and you're going to see how good God is. Another promise that he gives is he delivers us from our troubles, right? The face, his ears are open to the cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So God is completely interested in justice. And again, this is one of those tough truths that we all have to swallow, the fact that this world is kind of awful, especially these days. There's so much wickedness in the world, whether it be just out in the open. We think of all the tragic events that have been happening just in the past couple of years, even just this decade. But then those subtle evils, the subtle wickedness that pervades culture, that pervades people's worldview, and they don't even know they're entrapped. But for those, the people of God, we have our eyes enlightened by the word of God. We can see where things are going. We can see the wickedness plainly before us. But God, we have to understand, he's definitely interested in justice. He is a just God. Now, remember, he is also sovereign. He has a perfect will, which will be made manifest in his own timing. And so when we don't see what our view of justice is being done at our time, you know, on our time clock or our schedule, we get frustrated sometimes. But let's never forget, God is a just God, and he will bring those just deserts to the wicked. He's going to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. His face is continually against those who do wicked acts. And then for us, when we cry out, the Lord hears us, and he delivers us out of all our troubles. What an amazing testimony it would be if we could all share our stories, begin to share our stories with one another of how God has delivered us from various troubles. And again, that would just help us come together and just sing praises to our God. Number three, he provides all good things for us. God is a good God. He is perfect. He is righteous. He loves his creation. He loves us. He created us. And, you know, even James offers this sentiment in the New Testament. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And that is just a kind reminder from David here that we must remember and not take for granted the good things that happen in our life and take them as blessings. Blessings meaning it's the favor of God. For whatever reason, he chooses to bless us on a day-to-day basis. And let's take those little blessings, no matter how small they are, and let it bring rejoicing in our lives. and let it come out of our mouths so that we can share it with the world, and then they can understand how good God is. And perhaps, just perhaps, I'm spitballing here, maybe that's part of the work that needs to be done in the church to bring about the change that we always talk about we want to see, is we need to speak more about and praise God about the little blessings that he gives us in our life. Let's not take those things for granted. These good things that are part of our lives, they come from God truly. And then lastly, he saves our souls. We read that at a certain time in verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked. Those who determine in their lives to live wickedly, evil is going to wipe them out. They're going to be wiped out by their own evil. And so to a certain extent, we can't spend our time just always complaining about the wicked things that people do. Yes, we need to call it out for what it is, and we need to lift up those petitions to God in hopes that he brings about justice. But we have to understand, look, God's going to take care of it. They're probably going to trip on their own wickedness at some point in time. But for us, let this promise bring happiness and joy to our soul. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. None of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Our souls, if you belong to Christ, if you belong in the body of Christ, your soul is secure. I hope you know that, right? This is something else that the kids have been learning throughout VBS. They even sing a song about it, how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our souls are secure. God is the one holding them in his hand. Nothing will ever snatch our souls away from his hand. Once he's got you, he's got you. He loves you. Paul also repeated this idea in Romans chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For those that live by the Spirit, not according to the flesh. But when you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Let that bring joy to our souls. And let it bring us together to praise our God and worship our God. And so it's these reasons and many more that David is inviting us to magnify and exalt the name of the Lord together. You know, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 12, another awesome verse. In verse 15, Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." So in whatever state we're in, he's just asking us, let's do it together. Let's not be those Christians that find ourselves on the fringe and we find ourselves never plugging in, as we like to say in the Christian world. Let's get in the mix. If there's somebody rejoicing for whatever small reason, especially the little ones, show that example to them. Show them that we are a people who can come along no matter what the circumstance, whether it's rejoicing or weeping, but we're doing it together and we're lifting each other up as a result. Moreover, these truths that we should be inviting our children to participate. We should be inviting them to know more about God, to understand more about God, to live it out in their lives. Psalm 127, verse 3 states that children are a heritage or a gift or an inheritance from the Lord. And this should really be a communal effort. So let's commit ourselves to taking up this task. Let's do it together. I invite you to pray for our children's ministry servants. It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work to consider each individual young one before them and trying to understand where they're coming from and trying to help them understand on their level, each individual kid. It is a lot of work. And we see that God is an amazing God, and he's giving them the strength to do that week after week. So pray for them. But also, you know, consider becoming a part of the ministry. If you're excited about the prospect of participating and helping raise our children here in this church, and you want to be a part of training them up in the way that they should go, if you feel that God is pulling you in that direction and he's giving you the gifts to do it, then do it. do it. That is part of coming together and worshiping. That is you taking that invitation and running with it. And so, yeah, I just want to end with this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. I encourage everyone in here to read it through and through and really take those promises to heart. But again, the big idea here is that God is working in each of our lives. We're all from different backgrounds, different ages, different whatever. We're all completely different here. But God, somehow, in the bond and the unity of Christ, of course, he brings us together. But David here is inviting us to help us share our experiences and let that now motivate us to stay together, come together, and continue to worship God. And that's going to look differently. That's going to be singing songs. That's going to be participating in Bible studies. That's going to be breaking out and developing friendships and relationships where we can edify one another more personally. That's also, of course, stepping out and serving, using your gifts. But this church, really, let us take up that invitation from David and let us share our personal experiences and let us encourage one another thereby and let us then come together and worship our God all through Christ's strength. All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much.